However, I'm starting. You're starting. And above all, God never stopped. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 1, and it's verses 1 to 14. Quite a long reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man is coming into the world. He was in the world, and all the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our text this morning is a really powerful statement that's made by the Apostle John. It expresses the truth that obviously meant a great deal to John and which made a great impact upon him. And that's obvious from the fact that not only does he start his gospel with this truth, but he starts his first letter with exactly the same truth. But what is this great truth that so excites John? Well, it's simply this. It is the very nature of God to speak, to communicate his thoughts to others, and he does this by his word. And the point, of course, is that we all need to communicate, and the way we do this is by words. If we cannot communicate by words, we're in great difficulty. The Apostle John tells us in our text that it is the very nature of God to communicate, and he does this by means of the Word. The Word is a communicating nature of God, and John applies this term to the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. This then seems to imply that this nature of expression by word is the nature of the whole of the Godhead. The entire Bible supports the idea that God is forever speaking out into his creation. God is speaking, not God spoke, but God is speaking. His very nature is to fill the world with his speaking voice. It's one of the greatest realities that we have to accept, that the voice of God is always in his world. There is really only one acceptable version of creation, and that is that God spoke and it was done. The whys and the wherefores are not at all relevant. The fact is that God spoke and everything came into being. The word of God that John refers to cannot be the Bible, because that was not printed and written at the time. And it is also the word of God is not a printed or written word at all. It's an expression of the will of God spoken into existence. The voice of God is the most powerful force in nature. Indeed, it's the only force in nature, because nothing that exists can exist except for the word of God. The Bible is the written word of God, and because it's written, it's confined to the ink and paper and the binding of books. The voice of God, however, is alive and free, just as the sovereign Lord is free. Look at what Jesus himself said in John 6, verse 63. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. God's word in the Bible can only have power because it corresponds to God's word in time and space. It's the living word of God that makes the written word all-powerful. Otherwise, the Bible would just be another book of good tales and good advice. When God spoke and creation came about, there was no construction, no making, no taking of materials and moulding it and shaping it. God wasn't like a cosmic DIY man doing a makeover and making a project. No, not at all. He spoke, and it happened, just like that, instantly. Psalm 36, verses 6 and 9 say, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Then again, in Hebrews 11, verse 3, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." His voice has not been silent since before the beginning of creation, and it's still not silent, but it's still echoing around the far reaches of the universe. The word of God is quick and powerful. In the beginning, he spoke to nothing, and it became something. What once was chaos heard it and became order. Darkness heard it and became light. And God said, and it was so. We hear those two phrases throughout the creation story in Genesis. The said produces the so. It is so becomes it is said. And it is said, put into action. God is here, and he's speaking. His truth is behind everything that the Bible teaches. If it were not so, there wouldn't be any revelation at all. For God didn't write a book and send it by a heavenly messenger to be read by his creatures here. He spoke a book, and he lives within his spoken word, and causes the power of them to continue throughout the years. We have a natural human tendency to pay less attention when things become familiar. The old saying of familiarity breeds contempt. Well, we read familiar passages in the Bible, and we fail to grasp the power and meaning in them. Such a passage is our text this morning in verse 9, where he says, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." Now, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you try to explain it otherwise, the truth is there. The word of God affects the hearts of all men as a light to the soul. In the hearts of all men, the light shines. The word sounds. There's no escape. And this, of course, is inevitable if God is alive and in his world. Even those people, who have never read the Bible, or have never even known of the existence of the Bible, still have been spoken to with sufficient clarity to remove every excuse that they could make. Romans 1 verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the worlds, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." The voice of God has called out throughout the ages, and he calls for a response, a spiritual response, but he very rarely receives it. The tragedy of the ages is that we need to hear and we need to respond, but that we've often trained our ears not to hear. This is because we're troubled by this voice that calls to us, the voice that we often call our conscience. We prefer not to face up to the voice, so we prefer to ignore it and try and explain it away. But at the baptism and the transfiguration of Jesus, when God spoke out of heaven, Most of those around who heard it explained it away by saying, "It's thundering." This habit of explaining away the voice of God is at the root of modern science. There is something in the universe that's too wonderful and too terrifying for any mind to understand. The believing man falls to his knees and acknowledges and worships God. The unbelieving man examines, searches, and tries to find a natural explanation. The age we live in is very much a scientific age. Our culture is that of the scientist and not of the believer. We're more likely to try for an explanation than believe that this might just be of God. Our response is more likely to be, "It thundered," and go about on our way. But this doesn't still the voice. And so we try to make ourselves busy in order that we can ignore it. The truth is that we can't explain everything away that we experience. I'm sure that all of us have at various times experienced something about to happen, a conviction that perhaps there is more to life than we can explain. Have you ever had a feeling of wonder as you gaze up into the night sky and see the vastness of space stretched above us? Have you never wondered and marveled at the extent and the wonders of nature? Have you never looked at the complexities of the world around us and wondered whether all this merely came about by chance? All of these things must surely point to the existence of a creator. And that is, of course, the whole basis of our faith as Bible-believing Christians. And the Bible tells us that the creator is the Word of God. As scientists learn more and more about the world, about everything in it, they find that everything is perfectly and wonderfully made. As they delve into the very nature of matter, as they investigate the very building blocks of life, as they map the genetic code of living beings, they discover there's a symmetry and a uniformity in everything. One would think that this would bring them to realize the necessity of a supreme creator. But instead, it seems to make them more determined to find the ultimate key, to discover the basic building block, the power behind it all. The funny thing is that the answer to all their questions and searching is in a book that was written over a period of more than 1,000 years and finished 2,000 years ago. The Bible told them the answer in the very first book. In the beginning, God. God, who created everything by his word, and who continues to uphold everything by his word, and who still speaks today, and will continue to speak throughout time. God is the ultimate power, and he continues to speak, for that's his very nature. But there is another side to the nature of God. He is also one who listens. Psalm 116, one of my favourite psalms and one that Eileen always used to quote back at me. In verse 16 of that, I think. But Psalm 116 says, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. And I will call on him as long as I live." Psalm 34, verse 6. "This poor man called, and the Lord heard him." Psalm 66, verse 19. "But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer." In the book of Psalms alone, there are over a dozen references to the Lord hearing his people. This attribute of God as one who listens is constantly referred to throughout all the Bible. Not only does he listen when his people are in trouble, as he did when they were in slavery in Egypt, he listens when they praise him, when they're going about their normal lives. I said a little earlier that we can get complacent about familiar things, and in the process, we can miss the tremendous wonder of what those things are. I'm sure that all of us take for granted this remarkable fact that we have a God who listens. We dutifully say our prayers. If we're in trouble, we almost automatically cry out to God. We sing our hymns and our choruses. But do we really appreciate who it is that we're addressing? We are talking to Almighty God, the creator of all things, the one who has all the power and the glory, the one who holds the very existence of our universe in his hands. The supreme and magnificent being, this God of all gods, he turns his ear to me and to you to hear what we're saying and what we're asking. He who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, takes the time and the trouble to listen to the pitiful and feeble cry of each one of us. How astounding, how awe-inspiring to know that he's interested in each and every one of us. For he listens, not just to nations, not just to the church or individual churches, but to each and every one of his children, personally and individually. When we come to realize this, it really should have a great impact upon our lives. We should no longer think that we are just insignificant beings on a little planet on the far edge of the universe. Each one of us is an individual child who is recognized, loved, and cared for by the one who is the Father of all fathers. Now, I do appreciate that the image of a caring and loving father is not always relevant in today's society. There are many that, for various reasons, have not had a relationship with their fathers. But it's always been so. But perhaps in our modern world, the situation is worse than it's been for a long time. Today, there are more single families, more divorces, more breakdowns of the family unit than perhaps there's been in all of our history. Even in families that do stick together, the whole concept of the family unit has changed, and parents spend less and less time with their children. The TV, the PC, the computer games often take the place of meaningful relationships between parents and children. And in such situations, the concept of father has undergone a considerable change. But God has not changed, and he never will. God the Father will never send you off to your room, will never ignore you, and will never fail to give you all of his attention. He has said time after time that he'll never leave nor forsake you. He'll always have time for you. He'll always listen patiently as you tell him of your troubles. He'll always be there. God the Father is the same one we're looking at earlier. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of all things. He's the word that spoke, that speaks, and will continue to speak forevermore. I think we've demonstrated that the very nature of God is to communicate. He communicates with the whole of creation. He communicates with every living thing. He especially communicates with every one of us, with every human being. The most important question that all of us must ask ourselves is, can I hear God talking to me? If the answer is no, or I'm not sure, then where do you think the problem is? The problem is most certainly with us, for if we can't hear God, maybe it's because we're not listening. It's true that we live in a very noisy and busy world. Noise and activity going on all around us. My own house is a classic example. From waking in the morning to going to bed at night, there's either a radio or a TV going in our house. It's background music going all the time. So it's necessary for me and Joan to actually make the time and the effort to really listen to God. I'm sure that in different ways, that's true of most of us. We have to make the time and the space to listen to God. How we do it depends upon individual circumstances, but do it we must. How can we hope to exist in this complex world without a link to our Heavenly Father? We know He wants to talk to us. Indeed, He's constantly talking to us. We know He wants to listen to us. So let's make the time and space in our busy lives for Him to be able to do just that. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, if we are truly Christians, we are His children, and His greatest desire is to talk to us and listen to us. We have the greatest privilege in the world, that of being the children of God. Now, if any of you haven't got that relationship with God, if you know that you're not in that position of being His child, you're not quite sure where you stand in His family, then respond to the Word. Respond to the Almighty God as He speaks to you and calls to you and asks you to come to Him. The word of God is Jesus Christ, and He is calling everyone to come to Him and trust in Him. His voice is the voice of God, calling out through the centuries, calling out to you, calling you into His family. Can you hear Him? If you can't, then why not try praying that God will unstop your ears, that you may hear Him, that you may hear the voice of God, the Word of God who created and sustains everything by His Word. He's listening. What are you waiting for? Amen.